Broadcasting from Hagen's Village on Romney Marsh.
I beg you to not judge before you've heard it.
The difference between an alpaca and a llama?
About a foot.
Which one spits?
Both of them.
Channel Radio.
Just going to have a rough guess.
Can you get that alpaca out of the studio?
Back to normal now.
Yeah, man!
Broadcasting from Hagland's Village on Romney Marsh, 24 hours a day. Channelradio.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Here, we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Got any mince pies?
No, you've eaten them all.
Only five.
Ah,
six.
In one sitting, Jules.
You're looking very chipper, Mr. Bunker.
Yeah, well, you know, we're back. We missed it. We were away over Christmas and we're back with the first show of 2013. So, welcome to Business Bunker on Tuesday, January the 8th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-presenter, the absolutely gorgeous Jules Serkin.
I hear you have a fat squirrel in your garden.
I did have a fat squirrel in my garden.
Yes, I was.
You don't see many fat squirrels, do you?
I think you're the only person in the world that could fatten up a fat squirrel.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a thin squirrel.
Really?
Yeah, because I was saying on the Scoff and Quaff show, which is at 11 a.m.
to never heard of it.
On channelradio.co.uk, I was saying that you never see a fat squirrel and that you can eat nuts and they're really good fats. And then you chirped up that you've got one.
I've got a fat squirrel, yeah. Don't try and blag me, woman. I've seen fat squirrels.
Well,
yeah.
I think the RSPCA will be on to you.
He's all right, actually.
Are you trying to do a foie gras for a squirrel?
No. Guess what he's called? Guess what she's called? I've named her. Jules Nutkins.
Oh, very amusing.
Yeah.
Very amusing.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's lovely to have you all back. We'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. So please do give us a call on 01303 874 998. Or if you're too shy to talk to Jules or me, you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we'll give you a shout out for your business, your organisation, your charity, your event, or in fact, anything you want to tell us about. And we've already had a few tweets in.
Have we?
Yeah, we've got loads of emails. There's no point emailing us because we've got 1,000 emails already. So if you want to get heard today, you need to either ring in 01303 874 998 or give us a tweet by following me at VanillaWeb. And we'd love to hear from you. We've got a packed lineup today with some fantastic guests that we'll be introducing
to you. Yeah, some have just arrived on a bus.
Yeah, we've had people that have driven across continents.
One's come from Bolivia.
Yeah, exactly. We've got all sorts in here. It's very cosmopolitan. Of them. We've got Bolivians, Germans, French, Whitstable.
May we?
Yeah, and all kinds of things. So it's all happening in the studio. But we'd love to hear from you as well, the businesses out there in Kent. And do you know what? I think we'll start off with an email, Jules.
Well, I tell you though, before I read out anything, I'm in my element in this studio.
Why?
Sandwiching between two young boys.
I didn't think of that, did I?
No.
I didn't plan for that. It could get fraught in here.
Christina and I, one on each side.
Yeah.
The government have announced that a 90-day consultation period before large-scale redundancies can take place is to be cut from 90 to 45 days. Decent Creative, the Canterbury-based creative agency, are looking for local artists who'd like to exhibit their work at the headquarters in the centre of the city. Decent's are offering this exhibition facility at no cost, and the artists will be invited to hang their work themselves. I can just imagine that. Can you all going in with their hammers and nails and hanging their own work? They're going to ruin their walls.
Absolutely.
You carry on looking at your tweets. I'll carry on. For those who are interested, please contact Doug Mackay. He's on Canterbury number 01227 469060, or email the gallery at decent.co.uk. Attention 4x4 owners in Shepway. Age concern in Folkestone are looking for volunteers with 4x4s to help with deliveries of meals, prescriptions and essentials to elderly residents in the district. And they're preparing themselves for any sudden weather changes in the months ahead when urgent assistance is most needed. If you're interested, can you contact John Brooks? He is on 01303 279031, or you can email him on MFO, that's M for mother, F for Freddy, at ageukfolkestone.org.uk. That's John Brooks. Great help there if you've got a few minutes to spare, a few hours, and you've got a 4x4 and you live in the Shepway area, to help Age Concern in Folkestone. And there's one in Shepway there, actually, and there's another one in Folkestone. Is Shepway near Folkestone?
Yeah, Shepway is the general area that includes South East Kent, which includes Folkestone.
Right.
It's a district.
I think you tried to bamboozle me because you put that twice on that one.
Yeah, but you spotted it.
Yeah, I know.
You
yeah.
read it twice, but you spotted it anyway.
Yeah. Fudged my way through it.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Who's tweeting?
Oh, we got loads of tweets. I'll start off with a few of them, I think. We've had, let me get this up. We've had, who was in first?
First come, first serve.
Yeah, absolutely. But before we do that, I've got some birthday wishes to sing out. Yeah, from yesterday, wishing, hope you had a happy birthday and a fantastic day to two of our regular listeners, Amanda Wells and Penny Williams. So happy birthday for yesterday, ladies. And today, it's a great mate of Channel Radio, Mr. David Bowie.
You're joking.
It's Dave's 66th birthday today. And he's released a special track, and we wish him a happy birthday and hope he's back on Channel Radio soon.
No doubt. He'll be phoning in his old mate, Kevin Cann.
Yeah. No, he's been a great supporter of Channel Radio, Mr. Bowie. So, happy birthday, David.
He lives in New York, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he still does the school run, I was reading.
Yeah. And he pops over to Dimchurch occasionally.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Cool. What I want to do is read an email now, but I want to explain a little bit about it beforehand.
Okay.
Because it's a new thing that we're going to be doing on the Business Bunker over the coming months.
Right.
In conjunction with the Business School at the University of Kent at Canterbury.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, before Christmas, a few shows before Christmas, we had Dr. Simon Raby on the show.
I do. He was a star.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's talking about an initiative which the University of Kent Business School have got going called BIG, which is Business Improvement and Growth. And I'm going to read out their email, which is about BIG first, and then I'm going to tell you how we're going to incorporate that into future episodes of the show.
Fabulous.
So get the new year off to a great start by discovering the 10 characteristics that define high growth businesses at a free business growth workshop. These 10 characteristics have emerged from a rigorous research program with firms across the region, and this free workshop will help you to emulate those firms that are achieving higher levels of sustained growth and profitability. The Taster Workshop will also provide you with a unique opportunity to learn about the business improvement and growth journey, the only research-led growth program for ambitious owner-managers in the UK. It's delivered by the University of Kent's Business School. The program has helped over 500 ambitious owner-managers realise their aspirations for sustainable and profitable growth businesses. At the workshop, you will learn about the 10 characteristics of high growth firms and how they can assist you and your business. You will meet current participants and hear how they are benefiting from the BIG journey. You can seek answers to your business growth questions from a panel of subject matter experts. Network with other like-minded business owners who are experiencing similar challenges. Discuss with the BIG program team how the BIG journey can help you realize a better future for you and your business. And learn about sources of funding that you can access to support your place on the BIG journey. Now, the places are limited to 25 per Taster workshop. And to reserve your free place, you simply have to call the following number. So while you all scrabble around for a pen, I'll tell you where they are, and then I'll tell you the number to call. They are both on the same day, which is January the 10th. And the first one is in Canterbury, and it's from 8:30 till 10:30 in the morning, and it's at the Canterbury Innovation Centre.
That's this Friday, isn't it?
Yep. And the second one is at Maidstone, also on the 10th of January, but it's from 6 in the evening till 8 in the evening, and that's at the Village Hotel in Maidstone, which is just on the outskirts of Maidstone, on the M20 junction there. And to book on either of those, you need to ring the following number, 01-227-827-192. That's 01-227-827-192. Now, what's going to be happening with the BIG journey is that we're going to take these 10 characteristics. And once a month, we're going to have a program that explores one of the characteristics.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. So basically, someone from the university is going to come along, tell us about the background to that characteristic, i.e. the research they've done and how they found out and what it means. Mm. We'll also have a guest that has succeeded in business using that characteristic.
Right.
Yeah, do you get the idea?
Yeah, I do.
And we're going to do that once a month over the next 10 months, and we're going to explore all those characteristics. But if you want to find out about them all in one hit, get on the free workshop.
It's about time men knew about monthlies, isn't it?
Very good.
Zero, zero, dear. It's a good job no one's listening to this, isn't it, really?
I know, just your aunt.
Yeah, zero, dear, and she's just fainted. Okay, thank you for that, Jules. Right, now I'm all a dither now. I think what we'll do is a couple of tweets. We have Waste Paper Solutions have tweeted saying hi. And we also, I saw it, but I can't find it now. We have one from Lenley's. Have you got it there?
They were saying, hi, Vanilla Web. Don't forget to give us a shout out, tuning in. And don't forget that our Terrazzo restaurant is open and serving home cooked meals for under £6.
Blimey.
Roper Road, Canterbury.
We got all that in 140
yeah,
letters.
And then they also said, don't forget our winter sale is on.
Did they say that as well?
Yeah. Beds, Vice Spring Beds. I took one of my neighbours in for lunch there the other day.
Yeah.
She's the food inspector for Canterbury City Council, so that's quite interesting.
Uh-oh, stand by your beds.
And, but she ended up buying a Vice Spring bed on her way out, you know, under her arm. So, but it was the shop one, so right. She got a really good deal. Yes, and her husband's worked out it's 13p a day for the next sort of 13 years or something. The bed.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I'm loath to question you about anything like that now because I don't know what you're going to come out with.
Did you ever get your Vice Spring bed?
No, I did buy a bed.
Yeah, but it's not comfortable, is it?
No.
Go back to Lenley's, get yourself a nice Vice Spring bed. Yeah. 13p a day.
Huh?
13p a day, it works out.
Can't be bad. Anyway.
Who else tweeteth?
Oh, we got loads. Hold on. Alex Waterson of F Keys.
Hello, Alex.
And the guys from New Potatoes.
Yeah. I was tuning into them the other day. They play some good stuff.
They play some cracking music. Yeah. We're looking at moving them in the schedule as well because they've had so many people wanting to listen in.
Put them on Tuesday about 1 o'clock.
Well, we're looking at doing Friday evenings for making it a 2-hour show.
That was
because
a joke,
they've just got something.
Paul.
Yeah, I know. I just ignored you.
I know.
I've learned to ignore you, Jules.
I know. You give me that withering look.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, not again. Who else we had? Garden Pomegranates have tweeted in that they're listening.
Now, they were lovely beauty products, weren't they?
Yes,
I always think they're sort of a fruit mongers or something, but I think they're beauty products. Pampering things, I think.
Yeah. I had an interesting one from Neville Gaunt here, who's asking a question. Neville has said, if the Dartford crossing were toll-free, would that free traffic enough and remove the need for an extra crossing? So basically what he's saying is, at the moment they're talking about having to build a second crossing.
Right.
And what, without being too political about this, when they built the first one, there were only going to be tolls until they paid it off.
Yeah.
Well, they paid it off donkeys years ago, but they still toll.
And they put the price up.
Which is typical politicians. Yeah. You can't trust any of them.
No.
And now they're saying, because the traffic's so bunged up there, we need a second crossing. So Neville's point, quite rightly, is if we did away with the tolls, would we need a second crossing? Because the traffic would flow better. So he's just floating that out as a question.
Well, I've got one for you. Talking of floating, Neville, if you're listening still, tweet us about, I want a ferry. Why don't we have a ferry going across to Southend, for example?
Right.
You could do that, or a hovercraft. You could do that, and you could put the Channel Radio gear on there, and you could be a pirate radio.
Ah, right. That would be good, wouldn't it? You're just after a cruise, aren't you?
Yeah.
You just so you can sit in your front room in Tankerton and watch the ferry go past. Yeah, okay.
But don't you think a ferry?
Well, it's the Woolwich ferry. You could go across on the Woolwich ferry.
Does that do it?
Well, the Woolwich ferry goes across
it.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
It takes about 8 hours. You could do a Mediterranean cruise in the same time.
Do you remember those sea cats
that
used to go across Dover
Calais? It's only about a foot wide.
When the tide's out.
Yeah, you'd never get up to speed before you landed.
I'm going to investigate. I want one.
We've also had a tweet from Karen Bidoir, who's known as 1PT. On Twitter, and she runs Studio One in Tunbridge Wells. So thank you for that, Karen. We've got loads more, but we'll come to those in a minute.
Bidoir sounds French, doesn't she, Christine?
Yeah.
Bonjour, madame, mademoiselle.
Bonjour, ça va?
Oui.
Okay, d'accord.
Yeah. We'll not go very far. Christine is really grim.
Yeah, she was impressed. You could tell she was dead impressed with that, wasn't she?
We've been practicing for hours. Who
else? We'll come to the rest of the section.
Oh, is that Echimedia there? I can see.
It was, yeah, but I was trying to avoid that because I didn't want one of your fish and chips jobs.
Oh, fish and chips.
Yeah, Echimedia. Looking forward to the first business bunker of 2013 with Vanilla Web. Doesn't mention you at all.
I'm sure he does.
And if any listeners need a new website for 2013, then give us a call. So that's Echimedia, who down in the Orpington area of Kent.
Pin and pin.
Yeah, I think you can do an email, Jules.
A date for your diary. This is Business Community Breakfast. The next Business Community Breakfast takes place on Thursday, January the 10th, so it's 2 days' time, 7:30 a.m. at Gillingham Golf Club, and the speaker will be Janice Hook from Invicta Financial Services. Cost is £12.50, and it is £15 if you pay on the day, so it's a little discount there for you. The website for that is www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk, and that's from the fabulous Kevin Smith. Thank you for that, Kevin. You keep putting these on twice. Why are you doing that to me? He's trying to trip me up, bunker listener, for 2013. New compensation limits announced for 2013. This is the Employment Rights Increase of Limits Order. And it's been published and laid before Parliament and will come into force from the 1st of February 2013. The order increases the limits applying to certain awards of employment tribunals and to other amounts payable under employment legalisation. And the main changes to this are maximum amount of weeks pay for the purpose of calculating a redundancy payment or the basic or additional award of compensation for unfair dismissal or payments to employees in the event of insolvency, increases from 430 to 450. Limit on the amount of compensatory award for unfair dismissal increases from 72,300 to 74,200.
Blimey.
Limit on the daily amount of statutory guarantee payments increase from 2350 to 2420. If you want more details, where can you go to find out more about that?
It's just a general thing. I mean, if you go onto the BIS website, the government BIS, all of those tribunal things are on there.
That's very interesting, though. Or you can Google the employment rights, I guess, just increase of limits, order 2012.
Yeah.
And the increases reflect an increase of 2.6% in the retail prices index from September 2011 to September 2012. I feel like a proper business presenter reading that.
Yeah, no, that was really good. Yeah. That was fantastic.
I know. I've never been better.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
We're going to play some tunage.
Not Duffy, is it?
It's not Duffy.
Phew.
And it's not Phil Collins, no.
is it David Bowie?
I'm going to play some Bowie later, probably, but right at the moment, I'm going to play a bit of Michael Jackson and Thriller. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to our first guest, Christina Murias. Yeah?
You're going to do that Thriller dance?
Yes.
You try to scream, but dare I take the sound before you? at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
I'm gonna do it tonight.
With the Business Bunker.
Welcome back. A bit of Michael Jackson there with Thriller.
Loving your dance there.
Yeah, I was bopping around the studio
you
as normal.
Were very scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we're going to talk to our first studio guest now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Christina Murias of Green Growth Consulting, who is all the way from Plumstead.
Yes.
Hi, Christina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Plumstead via Paris, actually.
Yes, I was in Paris yesterday, yes.
Christina, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about Green Growth Consulting, your business.
All right. Well, I am French, but my parents are Spanish, so you might... I always introduce myself like this because sometimes people try to find out where I'm from with my accent. I've been in the UK since 2002, so it's been a while. I love this country. That is something that people at times don't understand. They say it's because of the weather. I say not really. But yeah, yes, I love especially London. Well, what about me? I'm 40 years old. I've been here now 14 years. I've been doing quite a few things in my life. Before setting up a Green Growth Consulting, I was in Paris working. I have a master's degree in civil engineering. For a woman is quite unusual, but yes, that is the case. And property is one of my passions, by
right.
the way.
Do you do international property or?
Well, if you say that having a property in Paris is internationally, yes, I can say yes.
Right.
Otherwise, not really. No, most of my my properties are here in the UK,
okay. Obviously.
Yes, I mean, construction property is one of my passions. But interesting enough, I just only started really to work on property 6 years ago because, in fact, I joined BP, a British company, British Petroleum, 15 years ago. And that is where I've done quite a few things, sales, procurement, project management. I had the opportunity to see a lot of things there. And when I left BP 6 years ago is when I decided to launch Green Growth Consulting. That is a company that specializes in helping businesses to win tenders in the public and private sector.
Cool.
Here in the UK, but as well internationally.
Okay. So, I mean, that's what we want to explore for the moment. I didn't realize you'd started your career at BP then. That's interesting. So,
Yeah. Fantastic company, by the way, even though some people might think differently.
Unless you live in the Gulf of Mexico, of course. And then they're not very popular. But apart from that, brilliant. Sorry about that. So tell us a bit about Green Growth Consulting. As you say, you help people win tenders and contracts in both the
businesses.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you do that and the kind of things that you look at in order to help people with that.
All right. Well, different businesses are at different stages when they want to tender. As you can imagine, I mean, I used to work in a big corporation, so we were preparing tenders ourselves. For suppliers, but I was also on the other side where as a sales person, I was also tendering. So I know both sides. What you have currently is I work with businesses from I won't say startups because startups, it's very difficult for startups to tender for simple reason that you need to have a track record about what you can do. But usually with companies that have been established for more than 5 years up to corporates. And what we do is we provide different type of services for companies that sometimes, you know, they don't necessarily have the resources to tender themselves. What we do is we can project manage the tender.
Right? Okay.
We need their help, obviously, because we are not necessarily specialized in what they do, but definitely we work in collaboration with them and we project manage the tender so that they can apply and win it. Because I always have a session with them just to assess the chances that we have of winning the contract. That is what we can do for some companies. Some other companies tender a lot, and what they, the issue that they have is either they want more tenders and they don't know where to find them. So eventually we set up some strategies. We implement some strategies just to find leads as normal sales. But most of the time, the problem that we have is that their conversion rate is not very good.
Yeah.
So there is where we come across, I mean, we come into board and we systemize, or we try to systemize as much as we can, and we put some things in place just to optimize and to increase the conversion. And afterwards, what we also do now after is that for bigger companies, when definitively they have a team inside, is just some training, just, you know, sometimes reminding the people that specialize really on the business that they are doing, but are not really very good maybe in few things that maybe, you know, they need to be reminded of or whatever, right? So mainly three type of services that we provide: project management, consultancy in terms of a tender, especially, or training. That is mainly the services that we provide with different kind of businesses.
Cool. I mean, one of the things you said early on in what you were talking there really struck a chord with me, because it's my experience that a lot of smaller businesses really either don't make much of an effort or, in fact, actively run away from doing it, especially public sector tenders, because they just don't have a clue how to do it, and they think it's just going to be hugely time-consuming and they're not going to get anywhere. So I was really interested by the fact that you actually offer consulting services to project manage that.
Yes.
Because I think that is one of the biggest benefits that you can offer, because I know from my own point of view, quite often I think I can't be bothered to do that.
No, no, you have businesses. I mean, we had a case recently, a business of more than 40 million. They only have 3 big tenders per year.
Right.
And, you know, there is no point for them to have a tender manager there.
Okay.
So we project manage with them. But, I mean, just to highlight, because I know sometimes that people are a little bit reluctant in tendering. Tendering needs to be a business strategy. It doesn't work for every business.
Sure, yeah.
It doesn't. So I'm not trying to sell it's good for everyone. It isn't. And secondly, if you are really serious about tendering, it's like anything, you need to have a process. You need, you know, you need to do that seriously. It's not because you apply for a tender that you will win it. Sometimes it takes, through my experience, working with a new client, it takes me 3 or 4 tenders just to get that one, because I also learn with them what is going on.
Sure.
And we need to improve very, very quickly what is not working, why the competitors are better than you are.
Okay.
Or how they present themselves.
I was going to ask you about that, because that's one of the things that struck me straight away as well, in line with what you were saying. I mean, do you say, if somebody comes along and says, look, we're thinking of tendering for this contract, do you ever find yourself saying, well, look, actually, I wouldn't bother because you're not the right kind of organisation to get that tender at the moment?
It's a very good, very good question. Yes, and always. I always do, and also advise my clients in the future when eventually they don't need me anymore, always to assess what are the chances of winning. They need to go through a list just to assess how what are the chances of winning. So you have some questions that you can go through. After that, you can still decide, and that's also my case with my business, to be very honest, that sometimes I do tender for work. I know that I won't win it, but I want people to know that I exist, that I'm here.
Yep.
So, for example, I remember, if I find something, I might be able to tell you later on. But the thing is, it takes at times 4 or 5 times before a big corporation takes your company into consideration, because they want to know how serious you are. How serious you are. So I won't say be disappointed. It's something that you need to take seriously, but the day that you win it, it can be, can be great.
So you're almost, I know I'm paraphrasing here, and you can slap me. But you almost seem to suggest, and I think it's a good idea, that you actually try a few tenders first without worrying too much about whether you're going to win them or not, to establish yourself as a credible tenderer.
Well, you need to choose them, right? Mm. So there's no point if you are a small business and your turnover is 100,000, don't go for contracts over, 20 million. you yeah. won't get there, right? Yeah. So it's always good to find few tenders that you have chances of winning or they will consider you.
Yeah.
And of course, you will learn through the process. Better if eventually you can have some help because that will speed up, right? I've seen people tendering for 4 years and doing again and again the same mistakes. So because sometimes you get feedback, but sometimes you don't. So if you can get some help, I mean, there are plenty of people like me as well outside there that are providing, you know, some help. Do it. Don't try to do completely blindly. It's like setting up a business and thinking just because you have an idea that you can be successful, you need also to improve your skills, right?
Absolutely.
Tendering is all about that as well. So, but yes, don't be discouraged. Just, you know, maybe talk to a few people that know about tendering, seeing if that's something that can be good for you. And if that is the case, go for it, because you can have contracts for 3-4 years constantly.
Absolutely. In your experience, is there a big difference between public sector contract tendering and private sector?
Oh, yes, a huge one. The private sector is a regulated market. The public sector is a regulated market. The private is not. So what happens is the following. The public sector needs to follow very strict rules. Because it is her money. It's your money, it's my money, it's tax money. So they need to be transparent and efficient. So the way that they procure, usually you will find some information through the Cabinet Office website or through some governmental website that they will explain how they will tender for certain types of contracts. In the private sector, they do whatever they want.
Right.
There is no rule whatsoever. Nevertheless, they are concerned with efficiency as well and making sure that they do and they make the best choice. So, yes. But yes, there are differences in the way that they can procure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is a horrible question, and I know it's a horrible question, but we'll give it a go anyway. Are there any repeated mistakes that people make when they're tendering that you think, oh no, they've done that again? Is there one or two things that people always get wrong when they first start out on this process?
Well, every business is different, but I would say if this may be an advice that I will give to any business that tender is always ask for feedback.
Right.
Because that is maybe some people, you know, they don't win it. They get, you know, upset about that. But at least ask for feedback. Maybe the feedback will be good. Maybe the feedback will be bad. Maybe it will be relevant. But still ask for feedback.
Yeah.
Because what I see is that when I'm coming to see businesses, I usually always ask them, okay, can you give me or present me 3 or 4 tenders that you haven't won? Because I want to see what are the issues. It's always the same mistake that comes up.
Really? What?
Oh, really, really, really. Sometimes it's because they don't answer the questions correctly.
Right.
Sometimes it's because they put a lot of marketing brochures that is not about that. It's just answering the questions are they asked. Sometimes it's always the same thing that is missing because they are in a specific sector. So they are, you know, I had a case with a cleaning company. The training that they were providing, the schedule of the training that they were providing was not there. And in every single tender, they were asking for that. So there was a reason for it. That was because that is what we discovered afterwards, is that they realized that the cleaners, you know, were not very good and they were not trained. So there was a reason for that.
Right.
Just to make sure you always learn when you get feedback. I know that sometimes people get upset because they say, well, I chase and they don't give me. But when I really ask them, you know, have you done it? Say, no, I only sent an email and that's all. So you have put hours on the tender and you even don't know why you didn't win it.
So it's about getting the experience as well then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about sometimes it's genuine feedback. Sometimes they want to get rid of you and you are clear. I mean, a business is clever enough to understand that. I mean, all right. But I mean, I, through experience, and especially the public sector needs to give you feedback, all right? But even with the private sector, if the people are quite, you know, keen and they're very grateful when you have taken the time to give, you know, to read their specifications and to answer. So why they wouldn't give you feedback, right? Yes, some people, sometimes some of them are rude, fine. But not everyone is like that. So always try. That is one of the best things that you can do.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Christina, do you take your skill across to international, to Paris or Spain, or do you
use
it?
Yes, I have prepared, obviously, tenders in French and in Spanish. I also work with a company in India. With a
huge emerging market, India.
Yes, there's a lot of tenders, you know, outside there, and that is one of the things as well that the UK government is trying to push with UK businesses, is that they can promote themselves in the Union, European Union, because there's business that you can get in the EU, and people are not aware about it. People can come here as well, that people don't know about it. That is how that works. But yes, I mean, I see sometimes people, what they want is American. I had a case, for example, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that was before Christmas, an American company that wants to win a tender here in the UK, so they were contacting me, yeah. So, yeah, but, you know, today, countries are open. You know, the internet has done fantastic things. You can provide services anywhere in the world.
Sure.
So yes, if you think that you can eventually, you know, tender for something in the public and private sector, go ahead. You never know where you can go.
Okay. And logistically, if I wanted to hire you, what's the best time to do that? And what I mean by that is do you normally get hired when someone has identified a contract that they want to bid for, or do you get hired in general terms as a more strategic thing where people say, look, we're thinking of bidding for contracts and we need to know what it's all about? Is there any, you know, balance between those two things?
Well, I have everything, because every business is different. Obviously there are periods of the year when companies don't necessarily tender, like it's December and August, usually, obviously, as you can imagine. It's very, very busy from Feb to May, from September to November. Nevertheless, I mean, we are a business, you know, we believe in helping others. If I think that something is not right for you, we will tell you.
Good.
We'll tell you, all right? So we usually provide a one-hour consultancy free, just to discuss what are your needs, where you are. I say to people, it's not the time right now for you. You need to do a few things before, set up a few things in your business before you need to consider tendering, and others, whatever. So, and you know, sometimes it's like in business. You know, sometimes people call us, ask us about a few questions, and they call us back 6 months, 1 year after that, you know, when you are ready. So, just give us a call. We can always talk and see, you know, if something can be done, or we might send you to the right direction. We might not be able to help you. You know, I cannot do everything. We cannot do everything.
Oh, come on, you're superwoman. We know you are.
but don't have a question in your mind and just wondering, you know. I mean, to talk, you know, everyone can give a free advice, so don't worry.
That's cool. Look, Christina, thank you so much for joining us in the Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to listen to you tell us about that. Give us a shout for your website.
GreenGrowthConsulting.com. And we have as well a newsletter, so if you want to sign up for the newsletter, you will receive, you know, promotions. We do some free webinars on the web. We do a lot of things for free, so, I mean, there's a lot of things there available for you.
Brilliant. So that's greengrowthconsulting.com. There is a link on the Business Bunker webpage, and that link will stay there. So if you want to follow up with Christina on anything you've heard her talk about, there's all the contact details will be on the Kent Business Radio website, or you can go straight to her website, which is greengrowthconsulting.com. For the moment, Christina, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on the show. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
I will.
And, you know, she survived, because when we met her in the green room before the show, she said, I'm a little bit concerned about the humour that I've heard when I listen in, and I'm not sure I can really handle your humour.
And I agree with her.
Business book.
I agree with her totally. She was being polite. You talk utter nonsense, Jules.
Thank you.
At least I don't understand your jokes either.
At least I don't force feed squirrels.
Yeah, exactly.
No, thank you for both of us. Well,
yeah. It's an absolute pleasure. Do stay with us. I'll tell you what, Jules, why don't you do us a couple of emails?
I will. Got one here from Kent and Victor Chamber. It's the Business Awards, which are coming up, celebrating business excellence. If your business is doing well under the current difficult economic circumstances, why not shout about it and try for a well-deserved award?
share your success and get the recognition you deserve, and you can enter the Kent Invicta Chambers 2013 Awards. The winners will be announced at a gala dinner to be held at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge on the 13th of March of this year. You can apply now and promote excellence in Kent. There is a closing date, and it's the 12th of Feb. You can enter as many categories as you wish. So it's www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk, and you can go on the /ThingamyBobby Awards 2013 and all that. But go on to the kentinvictachamber.co.uk website. Businesses prompted to prepare for KFRS policy changes. Kent Fire and Rescue Services, the KFRS, is reminding organisations with automatic fire alarms. Oh, I'd love an automatic fire alarm, wouldn't you? I'd love one. I'd quite like a man in a, in a uniform coming down.
I was going to say, you just like the fireman turning it up, for goodness sake.
Down the pole, you know.
Don't be so cliched.
Just all that stuff. There is actually a dating website I saw, and it's called something, you know, uniforms.
Uniform dating.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you've been on it.
Haven't been on it because I don't fancy firemen.
Nurses. Anyway, so they're saying they're reminding organisations with automatic fire alarms, AFAs they're known as, that they need to prepare for the second phase of a policy change that will affect their procedures for calling the fire service when the alarm sounds. And then it says the famous click here for details. So what I'm going to do is give you the website, which is kentinvictachamber.co.uk. And you can click there for details.
Cool.
Tomorrow, got one here from Cheryl. And this is the rank.com, Cheryl in Thanet, down there near Broadstairs. She says, hi, Paul and Jules. Hope you had a great Christmas and are looking forward to the new year. She said, year 2012 has been fastest year ever. And she's got this event tomorrow. It's at 7 o'clock. It's mind, body and spirit. Free entry. You get free glass of Bucks Fizz. That's it. I'm going.
She's anyone's for Prosecco.
Card readers, tarot, astrology, birth charts, palms, angel cards, mediums, Reiki, beauty, health, nutrition and holistic therapies. And there are charges for treatments and readings. And reveal a brand new you. There's also a meal package available, so you can make a night of it. Two courses, cocktail, free bet voucher for all for just £15. There is a phone number, 01843 579999, to book your meal. Call Cheryl, and that's SM for mother, GC hyphen Thanet at rank.com. And that's Thanet with a TH, not an F, as Paul
Thanet
would say.
It seemed fennec.
Had to get that in.
Thank you for that. I've had quite a few tweets in, and I just wanted to read this one while this is in the middle of all the tweets, but I wanted to read this one while it was still fresh in our memories, because it's from Kevin Hadlow.
Hello,
who is
Kevin,
the general manager of Dobby's at Gillingham, who during Thriller was moonwalking to the consternation of quite a few people that were watching him and some dogs.
Is he in a gilet?
I don't know if he was wearing a gilet, but he was definitely moonwalking.
Very nice. I'm getting a really nice picture of Kevin Hadlow.
Mm.
Moonwalking.
So thank you for that, Kev.
Although, you know, Kev, the new look that I'm after this year is the trilby. Men in trilby hats.
Okay.
Yeah. It's my new look.
Firemen in trilby hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Gilets, firemen in anything, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here we go.
But gilets are very 2012, so I'm on to the trilby.
Yeah, get past it.
All those big things, what are they? The Stetsons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not those Tamar Scottish ones that you told me you wanted.
What, Tam O'Shanter?
Yeah, that's what you said you wanted. And I believed you. That's the awful thing.
No, you made that up. I didn't mention I wore a Tam O'Shanter.
You said I've always wanted a Tam O'Shanter.
I said I had a big big floppy flat cap, and you went a Tam O'Shanter, and I went no. But from then on, it became a Tam O'Shanter rather than a big floppy.
You know, there's medicine you can take for big floppy things.
Yeah.
30th of January, 12:30 to 14:00 at the French Connection Orbital Park. OCC is a networking. It's free business networking in Kent. A relaxed environment. So this is 12:30 till 2. It's 100% free to attend. Refreshments and food available at the bar. Booking is essential. Contact Frankie at mpr-it.co.uk.
Cool. I've got an email here, which is about trustees with expertise being required in Swale.
Trustees with expertise.
Yeah, in Swale, that's Sittingbourne Faversham area. Our business support team is currently working with businesses and not-for-profit organisations in Swale. And there is a requirement for trustees, and it has been passed to us. If you have experience in fields such as finance, marketing or HR, there are charities who would love to hear from you. Please can you contact Julia Watling, and she's from Swale CVS, and she's the volunteer centre manager. And you can get hold of Julia on the following email address, which is julia.watling, that's W-A-T-L-I-N-G, at swalecvs.co.uk. That's swalecvs, all one word, .co.uk. Or you can call her on 01795-473-828. We will put a link to that on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. So if you want to follow up, if you want to volunteer as a trustee for organisations, not-for-profit organisations and charities in the Swale area, do contact Julia Watling at Swale CVS.
You so need a spit guard on your microphone.
Why?
For you swaling. Swaling.
Yeah. Kent Invicta Chamber after hours.
You
I'm just ignoring
swallow.
You.
You can
I'm
swallow.
Just, I'm just going to ignore you, Jules. I found that's the best way to proceed with this, is to completely ignore you. Yeah. Who is she? Who let this woman in the studio?
Carry on. I've just stayed here from Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I never leave. I stay cans off.
She's a remnant, listeners. She's a leftover remnant, which I thought I cleared the plates away, but hey.
It's like Miss Havisham, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. A handbag. Anyway, Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Club, this free, popular and highly successful casual networking event is, don't start, is coming to a venue near you. The informal atmosphere and relaxed environment is the ideal place to relax and chat to fellow business people. We will be on hand to make initial introductions if you are new to the event and may well point you straight towards new business for your company. So, here are the venues and dates of the next round of Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Clubs. In Ashford, it's at the Conningbrook Hotel, and it's on the 5th of February. In Canterbury, it's at the Abbots Barton Hotel, where you will no doubt bump into the tall one, Janice Watton.
Yes.
And that's on the 15th of January or the 19th of February.
And she wears stilettos.
Yeah. So if you want to meet Janice, or in fact at the Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Business Club, that's at the Abbots Barton Hotel on the 15th of January and the 19th of February. Or on the same days, you could go to Chatham at the Innovation Centre, that's in City Way. Again, 15th of January, 19th of February. In Dartford at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre on the 5th of February.
It'd be a bit hot in there. Yellow teeth beaming up.
Thank you. And in Maidstone at the Russell Hotel on the 22nd of January and the 26th of February. Sittingbourne is the Coniston Hotel on the 27th of February. And Tunbridge River Centre on the 8th of January, that's today, or the 12th of February. So the first one is at Tunbridge, that's this evening at the River Centre, and that's for the Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Clubs. If you want to find out any more details on any of those, if you go to the Kent Invicta website, and the link to the website is on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website, so do check that out. I've actually been to quite a few of those myself, and they are absolutely cracking events.
Stonking, are they?
They are stonking. They are really good. Yep. I've got loads more tweets, so we better catch up with a few of those because they're all fast disappearing.
Yeah, it's hard
off
to keep
my
in
screen.
Touch because they just scroll down, don't they?
Yeah, we've had purchasing success. Vanilla Web, please mention purchasing success. We're a new startup, we're dynamic, we're a forward-thinking company, and we're helping you with all your supply chain needs. So that's purchasing success. I don't have any other contact details for them, so you can follow them on Twitter at purchasing success. Who else have we got here? Melanie Hutchins. Happy New Year. Hi, Mel. How are you? I haven't seen you for ages. I have promised to buy Mel coffee, and I haven't seen her, so I will.
No wonder if it's just coffee.
I know.
But you know, I'll stretch it a bit, Paul.
Sorry, yeah. I will be getting in touch soon, Mel. But she's wishing all the listeners on the Business Bunker a Happy New Year, and I look forward to seeing you soon, Mel. Kevin Hadlow has retweeted and just reminded me that he's on holiday. Again.
Oh.
You're always on holiday, Kevin. No, he had a very busy time working over Christmas, obviously. So he's.
So is he moon dancing on holiday?
He's moon dancing on holiday.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have got an email about this that we're going to cover later. And in fact,
what, Paul, moon dancing?
No, no, the next thing I'm about to read out.
Right.
Do pay attention, okay. Jules. Do stay on track, please.
I'm trying. Yeah,
do stay focused.
I'm trying.
You can't get the staff. You really can't. I've lost the thread completely now. You completely thrown me. I'm going to read the tweet, which is from the Kent Foundation, and it says, the Kent Foundation for Young Entrepreneurs is a charity organising an exhibition networking event on the 29th of January, and it's called Blast. There's a hashtag for that, which is @ablastisback, which cool. is the hashtag on... I need to talk to you about that as well.
Okay.
I'm not doing cool anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool was very 2012.
Yeah.
I'm now doing sweet.
Oh, sweet. Oh, yeah, sweet. Sweet, yeah. Sweet. Yeah, sweet.
It's sweet.
Yeah, sweet.
So it's sweet that...
Lush. What about Lush?
No, sweet. It's
okay.
sweet.
Okay.
We have a Blast Is Back as a hashtag on Twitter for the Kent Foundation.
Mm.
We've got an email about that that we're going to read later. And also, Paul Barron, who runs the Kent Foundation, is actually a guest on the show, I think, next week.
Yes, hello, Paul.
So we're looking forward to that. We've had a tweet from Susan Moore, virtual assistant, saying she's listening in. Hi, Susan. Brick Flicker Films. Hi, Vanilla Web and Jewel Circuit. You don't need to mention her. It won't get you anywhere.
it might.
We're bunker regulars.
I've seen them on the tweet.
Hi to Kent graduates and bunker regulars. We are producing property films to market and sell your home. And that's Brick Flicker Films on Twitter.
Oh, right. So they're doing DVDs of around
yeah,
your
of
house.
Of your property and stuff
that's
like that.
Good.
There is a link.
Probably they'd be great in the bathroom when they go in and they've got some sort of blonde scrubbing herself in the bathroom and then a man at the sink doing sprouts and, you know, how would you make that DVD interesting? Quite interesting that. And you'd have a cat in the corner by the log fire, wouldn't you?
She on drugs. Where's this come from?
Work with me.
The fantasy ramblings of a middle-aged woman, huh?
Middle-aged? How long
that's
are you living?
That's the nicest thing that everybody's said to you for ages, I know.
Yes, it is.
Look, there's a shortened link, which obviously I can't see at the moment. So what I'll do, Brick Flicker Films, is I will find that link and I will put it on the Kent Business Radio website. So if anybody wants to follow up on property films and DVDs and stuff like that, they can. But yeah, thank you for that. And Kent Venues, Happy New Year to Paul, Jules and the team. Hope you and all the listeners are having a prosperous new year. So thank you. So keep your tweets coming. There are loads more, but we'll come back to them in a minute. I want to mention this as well, because they're local to me where I live.
Is it the sheep again?
No. They're really brilliant. It's a trailer firm. He's still out in front after 30 years. When he took over the new business, John Page knew it was a huge commitment, but he didn't expect to still be putting in 72-hour weeks 30 years later. It's a labour of love, however, for John, as he's determined as ever to ensure that customers get the best possible service. It was in 1982 that John took over the distributorship for Williams Trailers, Europe's largest trailer manufacturer. And John Page Trailers are based in Bindon near Ashford in Kent, in fact near Tenterden in Kent, which is where I live.
Mm.
And according to John, it was the manufacturer's good reputation which helped the Page Enterprise go from strength to strength. And they are now celebrating their 30th anniversary. John said, when we started, there were just 7 different models, but nowadays we have over 130 trailers on display at any one time. They bought the freehold of the site in 1988, and in addition to the sale, repair and servicing the trailers, they also have a petrol station at the front. And that's how I know them, because they are one of the few remaining village petrol stations, and I buy all my petrol there.
Oh, that's lovely. Does he give you green shield stamps?
Green shield stamps? No, he doesn't. No.
Oh, so he's your local?
He's my local petrol station, and they are one of the few remaining local petrol stations, and they are brilliant there,
yeah.
And I love them to bits.
What's
and
his name?
John Page. John Page Trailers, and they are on the main road at Biddington, between Biddington and Tenterden. They pride themselves on their customer care, they certainly do, and are always prepared to go the extra mile for our customers. Ifor Williams Trailers have a very good reputation, which makes their task much easier. And we, on the Business Bunker, would like to wish John Page Trailers a happy further 30 years
yes,
in business.
We would.
So, well done, John.
Hopefully sitting on the back of a trailer with a nice bottle of Prosecco, letting someone else drive.
It's a horse box, Jules.
Oh, okay, with a ramp down, you know, with a nice bottle of Prosecco.
And a nose bag.
And a straw bale.
And a nose bag. And a bottle of Prosecco.
By the way, when you say distributorship, You definitely need a splash guard on your microphone.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I get you?
Yeah, you did.
Cool.
You know, next Monday, it's the Kent Business Tweet-Up, the return of.
Is it?
Yeah. Now, this is the one that's the new one in Faversham, and it's at care of Hilda Marie Smith.
Never heard of her.
So you know that you're going to get a good bacon sarnie there.
Absolutely, I'm coming. When is it?
It's next Monday at 9:30.
Cool.
And it's the tweet-up. All details are on, I'll give you the website, it's www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. Now, she will do a bacon sarnie and ever-ending coffee for £2.50. And that's at the Abbey School, which is just on the London Road as you go into Faversham. If you're coming from the Whitstable area, see you there. Ken Lloyd, I don't think Ken Lloyd can go next Monday, but Hilda will be there.
So that's at the Abbey School?
Hosting, yes.
At Faversham?
Yes.
Next Monday morning?
Yeah.
Bacon sandwiches. Sandwiches.
Yeah. It's the only reason you'll go.
I'll be there.
There's another networking event, which is fellow chamber members and their guests. Networking breakfast. It's Tuesday, 15th of January. Best Western plus Dover Marine Hotel and Spa. You can have a spa while you're there. 7:30 to 9:30, it's £14.40, including VAT, non-members, £18. To book your place, please contact Tracy, tracy.reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, at kentchannelchamber.co.uk.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
We're going to have a bit more tunage.
This has got to be Bowie.
No. I'm saving Bowie to the end. Oh. No, this is one of my favourite numbers. I used to have a thing for Stevie Nicks. So this is a bit of Fleetwood Mac, and it's a bit really in line.
I've got a thing for Stevie Nicks.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
She's sort of, you know, you can go either way with her.
Yeah. I don't want to know about that. But Fleetwood Mac, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, which is kind of apposite for our next guests when they come on. So, hey, but have a listen to this for a moment.
Stevie.
Till
Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, Fleetwood Mac there, don't
stop. Oh, if you'd have seen him.
Oh, that night. Was so cool. Yeah, it was guitar. Really good. Oh, really, I haven't heard that for ages, and I just really need to play.
You looked just like Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, of course I do. One of the reasons I chose that is that we've got some really interesting guests on next, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker two young entrepreneurs that are just starting out, which is why Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow is so apposite, you know, because it is all about the future. Mm. So it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Diego Bergerano and Marcus Ball of Ambition House to the Business Bunker. Hello, guys.
Hello there, Paul. Thank you very much for inviting us on. I'm Marcus.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I'm Diego, and thanks for the theme tune.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Cool. Look, you can tell us a little bit about each of your backgrounds to start with, and then we'll start to talk about what it is you're planning to do with your business and how you're planning to do it. Because I met with these guys just before Christmas, and they were telling me about their plans, and I was blown away by what they're doing. I think it's absolutely brilliant, and I want you guys to hear all about it. But tell us a little bit about your backgrounds and about how you came up with what you're going to do, really.
Okay, of course, great. So my name's Marcus. I used to study at Canterbury Christchurch University. I was studying history there, and I graduated in November, so I finished up there.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
You've got the loan to pay off now, yeah?
Yeah, when I start paying it off, yeah. And, I met Diego towards the end of my second year studying at Christchurch, and, he studied at Kent.
I'm Diego, and I met Marcus about a year ago. We met at something called the Kent Enterprise Foundation Experience, which was a really interesting event.
Great. Okay. That's basically what we were talking about there with Paul Barron, yeah?
Yes, exactly. We met Paul Barron there as well.
Okay.
So hello to Paul Barron if he's here.
Yeah.
Initially I was actually thinking of getting into a typical corporate job. And what happened was that when I started to go into this first event, then met Marcus, and he sort of introduced me to something he had built up in Christchurch University, which was called Canterbury Enterprise Group.
Yep.
I started to realize that more and more entrepreneurship was actually something really, really interesting and something I wanted to do right away, rather than much, much later in my career.
Right.
So initially I did apply, just as everybody else at university, and believe me, that is a horrible process right now. It's horrible. Lost a lot of hair there, I think. And then what happened is I slowly started to say, no, I'm just going to go straight into it. And then by the end of the year, I decided to stop all the interviews I had and go straight into entrepreneurship.
All right.
Yeah, that was the real focus, really. It was based upon a problem that thousands of students around the world are facing at the moment. And we were tailoring it to Canterbury. The problem is this, that when you're going through your final years at university, you're learning great stuff. You're doing an academic course. You're learning a lot of things. But you're not perhaps learning what many employers are really looking for. You're not really taking on the skills that top employers are really looking for. So I decided, despite loving my course and what I was doing at university, that I wanted to create something else which I could really learn from. So I recruited a few students, and together we created this organization, Canterbury Enterprise Group, and we worked together to create events. We attended events, we boosted our networks, and we tried to encourage people to be more ambitious and more entrepreneurial.
Right.
A few of us started up companies, and we did really well. It was very successful. But towards the end of our time at university, we realized this organization wasn't going to be financially stable. It couldn't sustain us. It wasn't making any money, and we had to close it down in the end. And then we faced the situation ourselves of finding top jobs, and you got an interview at Shell, didn't you?
Yeah, at Shell, and then later at NACU as well.
Yeah. And I was offered a few interviews in London, and it was very tempting to go for the whole corporate package. They offer you a great rate, they offer you lots of benefits. It's very exciting. It's very tempting to leave Canterbury behind and go to London for something. But
at the same time, it's very secure, isn't it? That's why it's so tempting.
That's a tempting thing. But we realized that what we were doing with Canterbury Enterprise Group was actually really helping students.
Yep.
It's given them a lot of benefits, and all the students that really applied themselves in the organization have gone on to do really exciting things now. And we thought, why not try and make it really work? Let's come back to Canterbury and let's create a business and try and make it sustainable, go about it in a slightly different way, and really try and help the students here and try and help ourselves as well.
So what have you changed, Marcus?
So let's say you're a typical student at your university and you study for a degree and you work really, really hard and you get a first. Great, congratulations.
Mm.
That's an achievement that everyone should be proud of, that who achieves that. But when you go into the job market, you're competing with thousands, if not millions of people who have degrees.
Yeah.
And thousands of these people have firsts. What if you had other skills on top of that? I'll give you an example of some of the skills I learned. When I started doing this, I had no other skills. But what I learned was the ability to speak publicly, the ability to lead people, to recruit people, find out what motivates people, launch events, attend events, networking. These are quite basic things for mature business people.
Yeah, but not
absolutely, but they're not basic in, well, they are basic in business, but most people coming into the world of business don't have any of those skills.
Mm. Well, you see, what's really interesting is I did my degree in business administration and marketing.
Yeah.
And at the time I was at university, it's great. The environment is amazing. I love university. It was some of the most amazing years of my life. But at the same time, just making some funny gestures over there. But basically, what I realized is that when I first came into Canterbury Enterprise Group, I started to do these kind of skills that they just don't offer during that course. I mean, yes, you do some group work activity, but that's sort of the limit. You do a few presentations, and again, that's the limit. There's just it's that whole package that entrepreneurship offers you that's missing in just the traditional education.
But also, you're talking to other students rather than businesses. Mm. Am I right?
Well, when you're in uni, a bit of both. I mean, within the organisation, it's mostly working with students, but you do come across exciting people like Paul who do work with students and things.
Can you give that tenor back now?
I mean, local people like Liam Gooding as well and the Kent Foundation, they introduce you to business owners and they really boost you up. And
those were great experiences. Absolutely.
It's actually quite a big network that most people don't know about, but students around the country do know about. It's called NACUs, the National Association for College and University Entrepreneurs, and they were started up about 6 years ago by students, and it's a network of about 40,000 plus students all trying to become entrepreneurial, all trying to boost their skills and start businesses, and that was one of the key networks we were part of as well, and we kind of exposed people to that.
And that's where we got the Venture Creation Award as well for Canterbury Enterprise Group.
Yeah.
So that was a big achievement for us at that stage.
Right, sorry for that. Good.
Yeah. It's really interesting, and this is, I mean, as you know, I talk to lots of schools and colleges and university students about the world of work and enterprise. And it's one of those, I'm not, this sounds a bit negative, but I'm not knocking it, but it is one of the ingredients that people don't always think about. One of the issues with education is it has to be formulaic, it has to be a template, and you have to follow a process.
Exactly, yeah.
The real world doesn't work like that at all.
Mm. Yeah? Especially entrepreneurship.
Especially entrepreneurship, because you do things by the seat of your pants. You do things that nobody else has done.
Exactly.
You break ground that nobody else has been in, and you do things without sounding too risque, but you do things that are on the edge in order to survive. And you can't put that into a formulaic thing.
Okay.
And one of the interesting things about the world of work is that it's radically changing. And one of the big changes that I see is a move away from big to small.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah. And already in the United Kingdom, 80% of employment is with companies with less than 10 employees. And that is a trend that is set to grow and continue. Because what people don't understand, because you don't, I mean, Marcus, you might appreciate this being a history graduate, but if you look back, this concept of bigness is a very short-term thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's only a 20th century phenomena. Prior to the beginning of the 20th century, it didn't exist. Mass production and mass manufacturing are things that happened in the early 20th century. And they've now come to a point where they don't work anymore. The so-called economies of scale aren't there anymore, because we've done things like invent the internet, which makes, Christina mentioned this earlier, it's far easier to compete now with a global business from your bedroom because you have the same resources at your disposal. So what I'd like you guys to tell us about now is the kind of ideas that you're having with Ambition House and where you're taking that, because I think that's really, really cool.
Yes, of course.
Not cool. It's sweet. Yeah.
Hey, happening, man.
Yeah, it's sweet, dude. Go.
Okay, so we came back to Canterbury and we looked at Canterbury and we saw it in a new way. We saw that there are thousands of students here. They come from all over the world to study at Kent, at Christchurch, UCA, etc. And they have skills, they have talents. They're young, they're quite naive, they're ambitious. They want to do big things with their lives. And that's great. And Canterbury's a fantastic city to live in. It's beautiful. However, the number of opportunities available to these people are quite small in this area in terms of employment, internships, extra experiences. They can go to London, perhaps, for some of the bigger companies, but, you know, it's quite unsustainable doing that. It's very expensive. So we thought, why not create teams out of the most ambitious of these students and create these teams and put them into like a competitive format, if you like. And we give each of these teams a business idea, which we've researched and we've formulated. We give each team a year to create a business. Now, we call this process group founding. We group together the people with an idea, with an investor, an office space, and we create startups in like an extracurricular way. Mm. They may see it as being an internship in a way, but eventually, over time, they actually become entrepreneurs. We've already done this. We've done it successfully with our first startup. But this is the process there. So we create the businesses, and we say, at the end of the process, if it works, great. You've got shares in this company, and so does everyone else who's involved. If it doesn't, then it doesn't matter because you've boosted your skills. You're far more employable now.
Absolutely. You've made yourself more employable. Absolutely.
And what's the really interesting thing about the concept that we've now managed to establish is, essentially, if you think about it, really, it's an incubator. Hmm. But it's quite a different type of incubator. It sort of comes from a different perspective where the idea is already given. The team... They don't have to have their team. They don't have to have anything. All they have to have is themselves and the desire to develop. And we put all that together. And then on top of that is we've realized that the type of people, the type of students that we're getting aren't only those that have already considered themselves as entrepreneurs, which is interesting. What we're now getting is business students, for example, or students from other degrees that come in because they want to develop their employability skills because they understand that entrepreneurship is the one way to sort of really stand out in the job market. So that's the initial reason they come in.
Right.
They go in, think, okay, I do this, then I'll get employed. But in the process of doing that, they suddenly realize, wait a minute, I love this.
Yeah, I don't need to be employed.
I'm actually an entrepreneur. Yeah. I'm going to make my own company.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's give an example for that. There's an application. It's called Callen, C-A-L-E-N. You can find it on Facebook. Recently started up, and the team that originally joined because they wanted to become more employable. And great. One of them has been given an interview at Accenture for their industry, which is really good for him. But over time, they've become so involved in the project and they're so excited about it and they've all got vested interests in the project because they have shares that they've actually become entrepreneurs. Their mindset has changed. They no longer want to go into full-time employment after university. They want to make this into reality. And why I think this is so interesting is because if you look at current policies the government is releasing, David Cameron's talking about startup loans. Startup loans are a great idea. They really help people, I think. But I don't really think they're going to have as much impact if we don't have enough young entrepreneurs already. Mm. It doesn't matter how much support there is out there for young entrepreneurs. If there aren't enough young entrepreneurs in the first place, we're not going to be able to see growth that we like to. And we think that group founding is a really effective way of making young entrepreneurs.
I think, Paul, you were saying that there was actually an example where there's a lot of money at the side, but not enough people to actually...
Yeah, absolutely. You know. It's one of my other pet hates about politicians, is that they're very simplistic about how they go about things, and they think that throwing other people's money at a problem is all that you need in order to make it work, and nothing could be further from the truth. I'm almost loath to say this, because I'll get scragged.
Say it then.
But the money isn't the issue. You know, most of us that started businesses didn't have any money when we started. Isn't how you start a business. You know, you don't have startup funds. All this stuff that the government keep banging on about startup funds is actually missing the point. The point isn't about the funds. It's about the people willing to do it.
Yeah.
It's about the ideas. It's about the willingness to try your ideas and to innovate and to adapt. Because one of the things you find is when you start a business, it's almost unheard of that the business you first think of is the one that actually succeeds. You know, it's like a lot of things. You have to bend and be flexible and move and be willing to try different stuff. And in the early days, and I made reference to this earlier, you have to be a bit close to the edge. You know, when somebody comes and says, do you do this? The answer is yes, in case you can make some money out of it. You know, you have to just bend with the wind and be flexible. Otherwise, you get into the area that Christina was talking about, that a lot of small startups just can't win tenders because they don't have the track record. So, you know, you can't go into a business on that basis up front. You have to, you know, be flexible. And I agree with you totally, guys. It's about developing those basic level skill sets that aren't taught as part of a university program or a college program or an apprenticeship even. You know, I'm doing a program on the BBC tomorrow about apprenticeships. And again, it's part of the same thing, is that apprenticeships are great to a certain level, but everybody gets fixated on just getting you the apprenticeship. They don't think about what it is you're actually going to do and how you're going to do it and how valuable it's going to be longer term.
You're on the BBC more than you are on Channel Radio now.
I know,
You're always on the BBC.
I know. Well, they need talent, don't they?
You were mentioning apprenticeships. So there's actually one of the startups that we're doing right now, alongside Callan and a few others, is called Entreprentice. And, we've been developing it recently. It's a very, very, very exciting project. Mm. And it would be great, actually, if we could have a chance to just quickly...
Yeah, do. It's one of the things. I mean, I've heard a little bit about this, and that's one of the reasons I raised this, because I think this is a stonkingly sweet idea.
Okay. Excellent. Right, so the idea originally came about from the idea that we went to lots of congresses internationally. We went to national competitions, national networking events, you know, with different entrepreneurs all around the world. Mm. And at that stage, you know, we were still very, very early on. We weren't that experienced. But we met some of the most amazing people, students I have ever seen. I mean, just to give you an example.
Yeah.
Marcus. There's,
It's a guy we just had applying to the World Business Dialogue, which is something we're involved with as well. His name is Nathaniel Ware, and he's, I think, originally from Australia. He's a world champion in public speaking, absolutely incredible. He built a student consultancy, which...
It's the largest in the world.
The largest student consultancy in the world, which... has over 1,200 employees in 9 different countries, and its purpose is to actually solve business problems, but for those businesses who are socially involved. Yeah. So it could be charities, it could be something else. Very, very interesting. He's now at Oxford, and I think he's about our age. So
I think he's younger than me. I'm 23. Yeah.
We feel horrible.
Don't you hate overachievers?
He'll be burnt out by...
Yeah, he'll be burnt out by the time he's 25. Don't worry about him. Yeah.
This guy isn't a unique case, though. There are lots of people around the world like this you just don't really hear about. I think... Yes, we'll continue explaining about that.
Yeah, cool. I mean, the idea for that was just to give you an introduction to the kind of people that we're talking about here. This is like the top 0.1% of university graduates. And on top of that, what makes them even more interesting is the fact that they have, very, very many of these have already created their own company. So this whole entrepreneur, you know, the skill set that's within an entrepreneur, that's already developed there.
Right.
So these guys, extremely ambitious, you know, powerful personalities, powerful persuaders. They know that when they finish when they finish that university, they can do basically anything. Now, some of these decide to start their own companies. Mm. Most of them probably would. But a few of them are tempted by the very large corporations, you know, we're talking about the Googles, Apples, Microsofts of the world, with just amazing offers, just because of the name, because of the money that's there, other benefits. And it's really sad to see lots of these high flyers actually move out of entrepreneurship and join that scene.
It's like a honey trap. It tempts you in, it traps you there.
Because once you've joined that corporate world, then you've got the mortgage, the kids, the...
you get fat and lazy.
And you love it, you know, it's your safety. I mean, Marcus was working for 2 months and it was difficult to get him out. But then he decided to go out.
I was terrified of the debt, not because I liked working there.
So what we realized is these guys have two options. Go do that or build their own companies. Now, very often it's difficult for them to build their own companies. Just, you know, that start is tough. How are they going to get it? The financial support.
It's also what do you tell your families? You know, how are your families when you say, "Well, I've done my degree and I'm not going to go and work for a corporate."
I'm not going to work. Yeah.
No, I'm just going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So what did your parents say?
I didn't actually tell them for 2 months. The plan was to come back at Christmas and say, "Look, I've been successful. Here's some money to." You know, to make them proud, but unfortunately, they didn't work out.
Do they listen to the Business Bunker?
They do now. Right now. I guess that's a chance. A shout out to my family. Thank you very much. They have been very supportive.
Yeah.
I've got 1 year to make it to be successful. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm in a corporate job.
I take it you must be bilingual, German and South American. Spanish.
South American.
I keep saying that. German and
five
Spanish.
Languages.
Five languages. Is that all? Silly. What's the matter with you, Dago?
Sorry.
Really? You speak five. So what do you speak?
German, English, Spanish, French, and Norwegian.
Norwegian.
We lived in Norway for 7 years.
Wow. So. Okay.
That was interesting.
Oh yeah, cool. Of course you speak English. I just
now that's not a language. That's just normal.
What are you saying about my accent?
It's American, isn't it? Okay. Yeah. So how do you get the American accent?
I lived in Texas when I was very small.
Okay.
And yeah, kind of stuck. I'm trying very hard to get the British accent because it's very beautiful, but it's difficult. It sticks.
No, it's sweet. It's sweet what you've got. Don't worry about it.
Right. Sorry, just to get back to that really quickly. So basically, we got these people, amazing candidates. But the problem is where they could actually make the biggest difference is in the small entrepreneurial, you know, the young startup companies, where everybody would, you know, they just stand out. They'd be able to do huge things, but they don't, these companies can't access them because either they'll create their own company or they'll go big. So it's really sad for those companies to see that that talent is going away. Mm. At the same time, they want support. These entrepreneurial graduates want support, want mentorship, want something along the lines of sort of, you know, it's almost like a master's class in or a master's course in entrepreneurship. That's what the real entrepreneurs want out there. So what we decided to do is create a company called Entreprentice. And as the name suggests, it's an entrepreneurial apprenticeship. So what happens is we connect these top high flyers with CEOs, co-founders, and founders of young entrepreneurial companies. And the idea is that they work together for 1 year,
right,
and they act as mentors, and they work literally alongside sort of the top people in that company, gain all of their knowledge and their networks. And basically, you can look at it from both perspectives. For the student, obviously, this is an amazing experience, allowing them to sort of kickstart their entrepreneurial career. From the other side, the corporate people have the chance, the established entrepreneurs have the chance to grab talent that they never before could.
Yep.
But they also have the chance to sort of impart all their experience, their knowledge, their way of working onto these people. These students or these graduates can then help them develop their own company. And upon completion, they essentially have sort of two options, which would be about a one-year program. The first option would be for the student, for the graduate, to take the company into either another country or to expand it into another market. So, for example, say the entrepreneurial company was a German company that really wanted to expand into the UK. So then we find an absolute high-flying German student who studied in the UK. He's got the UK market. He knows everything about the UK. He's got connections there. He can then help them very easily bridge that gap.
Yep.
And the other option is that this student actually possibly wants to create his own company afterwards. So then he could create his own company, but still in connection with that
partnership.
Partnership or even investment. So you know, it opens up new possibilities for both of them.
This isn't actually a completely original idea at all. We like to see a lot of history to this idea, and as being a history graduate, I'd like to see it from this point of view. Look at Julius Caesar, look at Winston Churchill. All of these people had apprentices. It was something called the aide-de-camp method, which happened in the British Army for quite a long time, where young, high-potential officers would shadow high-ranking officers and learn as much as they possibly could from those people and eventually go on to do great things themselves. Another example is that a partner of ours called Natalia, she was given the opportunity to work as the apprentice to the CEO of Arvato. How do you say it? Is it a German company?
Arvato Bertelsmann, yeah.
Yeah,
and, that's a big multi-million pound company.
The CEO of Arvato talent spotted her at a congress and said, look, I think you're great. I want to learn with you, work with you for the next 2 years, and I want you to expand our company into Bolivia on our behalf. What an amazing opportunity for
her. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great for her. And Peter Diamandis of the SpaceX Foundation as well.
Yeah, Paul Andrews, I just want to quickly ask you, how much more time have we got?
Four minutes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Let's just finish up there.
You can always come on again, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we'd love to.
Yeah. Thank you, we'd love to, yeah. But basically other entrepreneurs are doing this as well. It's happening elsewhere.
So just to draw this all back in to where it actually sort of all comes together. I know it's very confusing because we've been talking about lots of different companies. The idea is we've got Ambition House at the top, which co-founds all these small companies.
Yeah.
One of these companies is Entreprentice. Another one of these companies is Callan. We're also doing a franchise to the World Business Dialogue, which is the world's largest student business congress.
Yeah.
And we've now got a team involved in the Holt Prize for $1 million for social change. So that's four of the projects. We've got another dozen in line to start up once we get enough people and sort of space. Mm. And that, I guess, brings us into the real reason why we'd sort of like, why we're really here on the radio and why we need sort of help. And that's a few things. First of all, we're looking for we're looking for obviously these students that are interested. So any student listeners, please please network with us afterwards. Secondly, we're looking for mentors, business mentors, so people who are very interested in what these students do, how these students grow, and would actually like to get involved with their business within this incubator type of scenario. Then we're also looking for obviously financial support, so that could be angel investors that might be interested who actually want a part of some of these companies. Lots of tech, big tech scalable companies. And thirdly, we're looking for a space where we can sort of create this type of co-working, which would be really interesting for the students to learn from each other at the same time as building their own companies. Mm. So yeah.
Cool. Guys, we're fast running out of time, unfortunately, and we could talk about this for ages because I think it's absolutely brilliant. I just want to say that this is the future. Yeah. I'm talking to everybody out there now. You know, if anybody's struggling with this and trying to get their head around this as a concept, this really is the future. You know, the world of work is changing radically. And because we're caught up in the middle of it, we don't always see that. But what these two young guys are doing, Marcus and Diego, is really where it's happening now. Mm. It's where the real talent is happening, and it's where our future's being invented. And we have to help that and recognise that. So I'm going to ask them to give a shout out for their contact details at the moment. But more than that, what I want to do is anybody that has any interest at any level in following this up, and they don't have to commit to anything, even if they just want to find out some Absolutely. More, just let me know and we'll put something together where we can all meet up for a day somewhere, maybe at Fruitworks or somewhere like that.
Fantastic.
And we can meet up and just explore some of this because it really is worth exploring. We're fast running out of time, guys. I'm really sorry about that.
Thank you so much.
Give us a shout for your website and any of your contact details.
Yeah, so the website is www.ambitionhouse.com and the email is inquiries@ambitionhouse.com.
Fantastic. You can also follow these guys on Twitter and on Facebook and all other things, and all the links are on the Kent Business Radio website. For the moment, guys, Diego and Marcus, thank you so much for joining us
thank
on
you,
the show.
Thank you, Paul.
It's been an absolute pleasure. We will have you back because we want to discuss this in more detail.
Sounds amazing.
But if there's anyone out there running a business or a student that wants to get into entrepreneurial businesses, then please get in contact and we will put this all together and we will move it forward and make something happen. For the moment, guys, thank you very much for joining us on the Business Bunker.
Thank you.
We're almost at the end of the show. I've got dozens of emails. We've got loads of tweets. I want to read a couple of tweets. Purchasing Success tweeted earlier, and they've just given me the piece of data that was missing from their original tweet. It says, sorry, Paul, I couldn't get onto the last tweet, but here's the details. Our website is purchasingsuccess.co.uk, or you can follow them at Perch Success. That's P-U-R-C-H Success, all one word, on Twitter. So purchasingsuccess.co.uk and Perch Success. I've also had the absolutely gorgeous Rebecca Nutt. Serenity Beck.
She must be offering you some microdermo abrasion
Free taster of eye mask anti-age treatment. Rebecca worries about me. She worries about my face.
Everybody worries about you, darling.
And she offers me lots of beauty treatments to try and put my face in some kind of order. But it's well past that now, I'm afraid.
But she's also my drinking partner.
Yeah, I know. But apparently I've got puffiness and dark circles and lines, and she needs to sort that out.
So what was that, a free mask?
It's a free taster of eye mask anti-age treatment.
Ooh.
And it's for puffiness, dark circles and lines. And you can find out about that by giving her a call on 01227794202. 01227794202. That's Serenity Becker.
Serenity Becker, yeah.
And they're based in Whitstable, aren't they?
She has also a salon at Stephen James in Castle Street, in Canterbury. So you could go there from Fruitworks, just mince through the back.
Cool. Okay.
You do mince.
I do mince quite a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you about the bistro at Hagelands next door to us in the Channel Radio studio here.
Taster menu.
On the 19th of January, they got a 6-course tasting menu, and I had one of their little starters earlier, and it was gorgeous.
Did you? Where was I?
I got here early,
was that
Jules.
The cheese scone you
It
had?
Was a cheese. I had a cheesy, what's it? Yeah.
Hammy toasty.
Yeah, no. No, it was just a little
cheesy
nibble.
What's it?
It was a vol-au-vent-y, cheesy vol-au-vent-y thing.
Vol-au-vent.
Yeah. So that was that. Look, you've got loads of tweets coming in, we've got loads of emails coming in, and we've reached the end of the show.
I can tell because you're waving your arms.
Yeah,
and
the next presenter's arrived here as well, ready to do his show.
He's battering a scone as well. Yeah,
so we need to get off air. So it just leaves me to say a big, big thank you to all of our listeners for joining us on the first show of 2013, and our fantastic guests, Christina Murias of Green Growth Consulting, Diego Bergerano, Marcus Ball of Ambition House, and to all the listeners, thank you very much. We'll be back next week.
Let's get us going.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.